Good morning. Welcome to EPC. Please be seated. Lovely, bright morning out there today. Better than last evening, I think. If you are a guest with us this morning, please sign the guest book located by the entrance of the church. And also after the service, we do have a time together in Douglas Hall, which is directly below here, down the stairs for coffee, tea, cold drink, and with a cookie or two. I would ask that everyone join in this time of fellowship. For those of us that are not regulars, that are regulars, if you see someone who is new in our midst, please personally invite them to join us so that we will all make each other feel welcome. We remember we are known as the friendly congregation. I have an update today on Bruce, who many of you know has had a little setback recently. And thus we have Reverend Anderson with us today. As most of us know and realize just by watching Bruce recently, he's had a great deal of shortness of breath. And he has been seeing various specialists to determine the cause. One of the specialists that he saw, who has had Bruce take several heart-related tests. In the middle of the week, the cardiologist informed Bruce that he has one or more blockages in his arteries. To that end, Bruce did have an angiogram on Thursday afternoon, and the cardiologist did expect to have the results after, and they may have had to put stents in. That decision was made once Bruce had gone through all the relevant tests. Now, there is good news. They did not find a blockage in Bruce's artery, which also means they still do not know what is behind the respiratory issues that he's been having. Further diagnosis will be required to determine that issue. He had been told after his numerous tests on Thursday that he should be off his seat for at least 48 hours. And so to that end, I would like to welcome Reverend Anderson into our midst, who stepped up to the plate to help that issue without Bruce being available. And we welcome you. Reverend Anderson, you always have an uplifting and enlightening message for us. I just have a couple of things to bring to your attention, as I nearly always seem to have to do. I not have to, but I do. And it's the regularly scheduled session meeting has been put over from tomorrow evening to the week from tomorrow, April 11th, and still at 7:30. Gordon Fielding spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about the Burlington Leadership Prayer Breakfast, which is taking place on May 5th at 6:45. That would be a.m. because it's breakfast. Both Gordon and I have tickets available this morning. They are $25 each. Lorna Duick is a guest speaker, and no doubt she will bring to you a powerful message. And just as we were ready to go into the sanctuary this morning, Gordon said, oh, you might mention that the Halton Police Choir is taking care of, or they are performing at the prayer breakfast. So if you think getting up at 5:30, 5 o'clock is a little early, just think of all the enjoyment you'll have, and there's nothing better than seeing this room full of 600 to 700 Christians all meeting for breakfast with white tablecloths, and it is really, really effective. So I would like to just make sure that you try to attend, and if you need a ride, then let the office know, or Gordon and I know, and we will be able to look after that part of it. I'm nearly finished. I'd like to now turn to Mo Anderson to bring the call to worship.
My excitement about being here is tempered by the fact that, you know, Bruce is not well. But this morning as I light the candle, we're reminded that we are still in the season of Easter. We have come through Palm Sunday. We have come through Good Friday. We have come through Easter, resurrection. And so we're still in that season of reflecting and remembering what it is that the light of Christ means for us in each of our lives. And if it means nothing else, it means that when we are in the seasons of unknowing and questioning and hoping, that Christ's light reminds us of all the light and hope that we have in our lives. Okay. We have a Trinitarian approach to this concept. Aha, see?
There you go.
I wouldn't be preaching at Burlington East if I didn't have trouble lighting the candle. All right. Let's try this again.
You just think it's easy to get ready to do the service, don't you? This is all staged?
Yep. There we go. Hang on.
In the meantime, we will just get started on the first hymn, which is...
Hang on, I got a call to worship. Wait a second. Oh God, whose love comes riding on a donkey, embraces us on the cross, and surprises us at an empty tomb. We come to worship, to reflect, and to renew in the light of your grace and in the Easter promises. Let us rejoice in the journey that saw the coming of our salvation. Let us rejoice in the love that is beyond our understanding, and let us find new meaning. Now we can sing hymn number 267. Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for bringing us to this day. We thank you for all of the stories that encompass our lives, the ones that bring us smiles and joy, as well as the ones that have brought us tears and confusion. Knowing that you are present in all experiences, shaping and molding, refining and transforming us. Forgive us the moments when we have trampled the sacred stories of our brothers and sisters, when we have changed the stories to make us feel more comfortable, or failed to hear their stories so we wouldn't see our own culpability. Help us bring fresh eyes to our own stories and to honor the sacredness of those that we meet. Together we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these words from Romans chapter 8. There is now no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. We no longer have to live under the threat of God's judgment, for through Jesus we have been freed from the tyranny of sin and death. For Jesus did what the law could never do. He personally took on the human condition, entering into the disordered mess of struggling humanity, in order to set it right once and for all. Through him we have been set free. Thanks be to God. Our children's hymn this morning is a beautiful hymn that tells the story as a dance, number 250, and the children are welcome to join me here at the front. Few more back there? Yes, here they come. Welcome. Now I want everybody to close your eyes and put out your hand. Everybody get your eyes closed. No peeking. You got to close your eyes. Put out your hand. You're not good at that, eh? You like? All right. Well, we'll see if you can be good at it for today. You put out your hand? Now, before you open your eyes, can you guess what it is? Oh, good guess. Okay, open your eyes. You were right. Now, what do we do with cream? What? Yeah, why? Yeah, sometimes it smells good, right? And it has a little bit of a perfume. You put it on Grandma too, eh? Good idea. Did she say thank you? Yeah? I bet it, because it feels good, right? When we put cream on and we kind of rub our skin. Maybe sometimes our skin, sometimes we put skin on, put it on our skin when our skin feels what? Dry, yeah.
Wet.
Yeah, sometimes it's wet, yeah. Or feels a bit itchy. There's some special creams that have medicines in them, right? And there's one that, if you're out in the sun, what do you put on? Sunscreen is very important. It protects our skin, doesn't it? What's that?
I should have known that.
You should have known that one. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I wanted to put cream on our hands this morning because I wanted to remind us of something that was very important. Last Sunday, do you remember what it was? I'll give you a hint. Probably the Easter Bunny came. It was Easter. Yeah, that's right. And Jesus came and showed his disciples. You're going to show your mom, okay. Jesus came and showed his disciples his hands. And can you do you remember what his hands might have looked like? What? Well, not quite that, but they would have had holes in them from where the nails went, and his feet would have had holes in them from the, where the nails went. His hands were injured. And his hands remind us that God loves us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for us.
I already put it on myself.
Good. Does your skin feel better? And we can also remember that Jesus was just like you boys and girls. He was a child. He was a baby. And his mom put maybe things on his skin to make him feel good, or maybe to prevent diaper rash the way your moms and dads did.
I know another one. If you're itchy, you put that on.
Yeah, so I'm sure his mom took very good care of his skin as he was growing up. But even so, when he died on the cross, his skin was injured for each one of us.
What does injured mean?
Injured means that it hurts. Yeah. Yeah, that he had sore. And if you've ever maybe fallen and scraped your knee, or you maybe put special creams on it, right?
No, one time I fell and my whole place was bleeding.
It was.
And one time, this was a long time
one
ago.
One time I ran, my papa was pushing me on the floor and then I scraped my
knees. You scraped your knees. Scraping our knees and our elbows really hurts, so
no,
we can imagine.
And he didn't stop it.
Great. Well, let's say a prayer before you go back, and we'll have moms and dads out there. Repeat after us, with us, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you that you were a child and a baby, and that you died on the cross for each one of us. Thank you that you love us so much. Amen. Well, we'll continue singing the last two verses of our hymn, and while the children make their way out for us.
Psalm 66, verse 8 through 20. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard.
Who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us.
You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, those that my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings of fatlings with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what the Lord has done for me.
I cried aloud to God and extolled the Lord with my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would have not have listened. But truly God has listened and given heed to the words of my prayer.
Blessed be God who has not rejected my prayer or removed steadfast love from me.
I'm going to begin by reading Acts chapter 5, verses 27 through 40. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to those things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claimed to be somebody, a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed and all those who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God." They were convinced by him, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And turning to Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. "John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the king of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sin by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account will be the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And turning to our gospel lesson this morning in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This is the continuation of our Easter story. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my fingers in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our hymn is number 260, "Alleluia, Alleluia, Give Thanks to the Risen Lord." What happened to Jesus' disciples? What has happened to you? Think about it for a moment. Just today, as you look back on your life, if you were to go back 10, 20, 30, 70, 80 years, however far back you can go, and if I was to put a crystal ball in front of you at that age and say, everything that you were going to survive, you would not have believed me that you were going to get through. If you had a crystal ball and could see into the future, many of you wouldn't choose to go through what you have gone through. But you are here. You have survived heartbreak and losses, griefs and sadnesses. There have been illnesses and financial strains. Crazy good things have happened to you and crazy bad things have happened to you. If you wrote your life as a book, what genre would it be? What title would you give it? Some of you, if you wrote a book, you'd have to sell it as fiction because nobody would believe you. Some of you would need a lawyer. Some of you would sell it as comedy. And probably there are stories within each one of you here that you've never shared with anyone. Deep, rich stories. Think about what has happened to you. What has brought you, as the Anglicans say, safely to this day? And then when we look at what has happened to Jesus' disciples, we just left behind the Easter story where they were scattered and they were scared. They were denying, they were running, and in the Gospel of John we just read, they were locked away in fear. And I think history and sermons have been very unfair to the disciples. We have likened them to cowards and scaredy cats. We have labeled Thomas as doubting rather than traumatized Thomas. Through Thomas, we have made doubting a crime in the Christian church. And then there's Peter. Peter, whose sole claim to fame seems to be denying Jesus three times. And yet, the passage we read in the Gospel of Acts was anything but a scaredy cat. Do we remember that Jesus also said to Peter, the rock, that upon this rock, God would build his church? I read a t-shirt this week that says, don't judge my life by the chapter that you walked in on. Don't judge my life by the chapter you walked in on. And how often do we judge those disciples by the small chapters and bits that we read? In healthcare, sometimes even we forget when families are being rude or disrespectful or difficult or throwing hissy fits somewhere in our ICU, that they're actually going through the worst days in our lives, and we have to stop and remind each other, it's okay. Let them be disruptive or do what they need to do to get through this difficult experience. For many of us, the greatest disaster today is that it snowed. How many of you complained about that on the way in? We forget, right? That we are so privileged. Why have we made doubt a Christian crime? Because real, honest doubt can actually be the beginning of the forging of our faith. Jesus can handle doubt. Jesus went right into the center of the room to offer his hands and his feet as evidence of doubt. He allowed Thomas to touch his wounded hands. In fact, if Jesus could raise other people from the dead and heal other people's hands and feet, and cure leprosy, and feed the 5,000, and be raised back from the dead, why return to his disciples with wounded hands and feet and side? Why not go all the way? Why not resurrect all the way to perfect healing? Heal everything. Return to your disciples unscathed. But Jesus' wounds are his answers to our doubts. Your wounds are answers to someone else's doubts. The deeper your wounds, the deeper you will speak to the wounds of this world. The deeper you will heal this world if you allow Christ to forge them into something useful. One person I spoke to this week was so grateful that God had guided them to their new car. You know, the salesman and the right mileage and the model and everything was just perfect and an answer to prayer. And then I sat with a woman whose faith was sustaining her through yet another long hospital admission in the unknowing of her illness. Her doubts, her fears, her struggles, her disappointments, but also her faithfulness were just so profound that I felt ministered to in her presence. It was a blessing to listen to her. God, you see, is growing both people in their faith. But if faith is only that time when the right things come to us the right way, then we miss the Jesus that puts out his hands before us and offers us his own woundedness to begin to change the world. And I want you to look at your stories this morning and see through each moment of brokenness, God creating a passport for you into the land of the brokenhearted. The psalmist in the psalm compares the practice of forging metals to make them stronger. He talks about going through fire and water, that process of heating and cooling metal and shaping them for service. The refiner's fire is the process of taking materials and making them so they will be stronger, more useful, and ultimately transformed and changed. Tempering is only part of the work. And see, some of us stop at tempering. Tempering makes us hard, but without shaping and heating and reheating until we are worked into something useful, we're just hardened. There are many Christians who have been hardened through their trials. We even use phrases like hardened hearts or hard-headed. And if people describe you as hard-headed, what they're saying is you've been through a lot and you haven't allowed God to keep putting you through and allowed him to mold you and change you and transform you through that. You've stopped. But it's okay, because God's going to keep working. When we are refined, that is when we begin to take shape, the impurities are drawn away and the beauty begins to emerge. The value that we have before God takes shape, not the value that the world assigns to us. Can you see how in our stories the disciples have been refined? When challenged about teaching the good news, they reply, knowing that they could be put to death, we must obey God rather than humankind. They've gone from John chapter 20, from being locked and hiding in a locked room while they let the women go down to the graveside, and from denying and doubting or even knowing or pretending they knew Jesus to preaching Jesus boldly everywhere they went in a very short period of time. They went from fearing death to facing it and almost embracing it as a symbol of being a Christian in the early church. Here begins the radical transformation that began the growth of the Holy Church. When we are transformed, truly transformed, we can never go back. Just as a butterfly cannot go back to being a caterpillar, we are capable of equally radical transformation that leads to change, real change. And those disciples were so preaching the gospel with such fervor that they could not go back. It was too late. You see, if they had continued on the path of denial and doubting that was part of Good Friday and said, oh, don't know the man, never saw him, what are you talking about? They could have crawled back into their rooms and probably quietly been forgotten. But no, they were changed, they were transformed, and it was too late. They were now before the high courts and the high priests. If we simply remained hardened or refined without transformation and change, then we fail to reach our full potential. And if you are struggling with some area of your life, Can you stop and wonder for a moment how God is going to continue that path of transformation and change? And probably not in the way that we expect. Just as we look back in our life stories and think, oh my gosh, God brought me all the way through all these things. And I want to point out that Gamaliel's advice is great advice for those that are growing and transforming and changing. First of all, it came from a Pharisee, and they too have a bad rap in our church. Yes, the religious leaders of Jesus' day played a part in his crucifixion. But regardless of religion, a heart open to God, to learning, can always be wise. And if I was to paraphrase his advice in everyday language, it would read something like this. People of Burlington East, consider carefully what you are thinking of doing. Idiots come and go. Other idiots will follow those idiots. For a time. Leave people that you think are idiots alone for a while. The problem will sort itself out. One person, one Pharisee, stood up. Remember, the anger of the courts and Good Friday and Easter are not that far behind them. But one person stood up and changed, for a time at least, the course of history. One person overrode the anger of that court, the crowds. And I'm left to wonder, where was he on Good Friday? Who can be Gamaliel for us? Who can raise up the wisdom of a life devoted to prayer and following God's leading, even in difficult circumstances? Because spiritual maturity requires emotional maturity. Back in that locked room, Jesus transcends the locked door, the fear, the unknowing, and enters in. And I would like to invite you, when we come to that time in our service this morning, when we enter into prayer, I want to draw your awareness to where pain and struggles are in your own story and in the stories of those around you. Where are the places where you have locked yourself away in fear? Where are the places where you need wisdom spoken to in your life? And where is the wisdom that God is giving you today? What are the moments where you have become hardened? Where are you hoping for transformation? Where can you celebrate change that has happened and is happening? Tempered, refined, transformed, and changed. May it be our journey today. Amen. The offering is not the ticket of price for an admission to an event. It's not payment for God's attention or favor. It does not buy us anything. What it is our opportunity to give back to God, who gives us infinitely more. I would call upon the ushers to take up our morning offering. Gracious God, we give thanks for that which is offered here today. In this Easter season, we are grateful for the sacrifices that we remember that you made on the cross for each one of us. We ask that the sacrifices that we make today might be part of transformation and change in this community, that you would bless the work of the hands of all those in the minds that plan to bring your kingdom to the world. So bless them, we pray. May they be used for your glory. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm in our service, and we have the opportunity to pray for all those that are on our hearts and minds. Is there anything you would like to pray for this morning? Of course, we want to pray for Pastor Bruce. For David? Margaret? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. Fraser? Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, we remember that we are your people and that you have given each one of us a story. A story that is unique. A story that speaks to joy and sorrow, sadness, excitement, pain, loss, and grief. And we remember brothers and sisters who also carry stories of faith. So help us to look back on our stories and see your handiwork. Help us to trust in those moments when doubt is crowding in on our thoughts. We ask that you might take those moments of doubt and transform them into a stronger faith. We ask that we might be a people and a community that embraces all those that are seeking, all those that are struggling, that is open to hearing the questions. We pray especially this morning for Pastor Bruce. We pray for wisdom of doctors and all those that are caring for him. We pray into the mystery of the unknown. We pray for the time of waiting that is his, that it might be a time of waiting and transformation. We thank you for how his struggles have ministered to this congregation, how they have spoken into the lives of those in the world. We ask, Lord, that you would be present to him today through our prayers and to his family. We also pray for those that we have named in this congregation, for David, for Margaret, for Fraser, and for Stuart, and for so many that are in our hearts today. You, O Lord, know their needs. We ask that you would minister to those needs. We ask that you would be with them wherever they may be. We think of those that are traveling and away from us, that you would grant them journeying mercies. We think of our world that sometimes seems in turmoil. But we also remember that there are many places of goodness, that there are many people who offer kindness into this world. So may we not pray for the needs of our world without giving thanks for all those who seek to bring kindness and mercy into it. We pray for governments everywhere. We pray for peace in the places that have long been, that seem beyond peace. We pray for those that are hungry today. We pray for shelter for those that need warmth. As we go from this place, may we be your people in the world. May we be bearers of light. May we remember that you are in our story and that you care deeply for each one of us. Amen. Our final hymn is a prayer for one another. So as you're singing this hymn, may you pray it to those that are around you. God be with you till we meet again. May God call you again in your story. May you leave here knowing your story is part of a sacred story. May your wounds be healing for the world. May you be molded, transformed, and changed by God. Go in peace. Amen.